Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah. And as always, I'm so glad that you're joining me today as we discuss the texts that are assigned for this week. This week, we're of course talking about the text assigned for the first Sunday in Lent, which this year falls on March 5th, 2017. Just as a reminder, in case you're new to this podcast, the lectionary texts are a series of assigned texts that rotate on a three-year basis that some churches use, some churches don't. It just depends on your tradition. Those texts are from, there's always a text each week from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament, and the Gospels. So this week we are discussing the second Old Testament, or excuse me, not this week, this podcast. I'll be discussing the second Old Testament text from Psalm 32. And as I said, this is the first Sunday in Lent. So the season of Lent is the 40 days, not counting Sundays, that lead up to Easter. And for me growing up, Lent was about a lot of things, but it was about soup suppers at church. We always had a Wednesday evening service during Lent, and that was always preceded by a soup supper. And the idea behind the soup supper was, you know, it was supposed to be a simpler meal, just soup and bread, kind of a simple meal to make us realize that not everything has to be so crazy and fancy, to focus us more on the simplicities of life, maybe. But at least in my congregation, the soup was always really amazing. And so there's usually three people that brought soup, three families that brought soup, and then anyone else could bring bread. So there was always these amazing different kinds of soup to try, and the bread was so good. Often it was homemade, often it was just fabulous. So when I think of Lent, I think of a lot of things, but part of me always thinks of Wednesday night soup suppers and that fabulous gathering of community, that wonderful time to be together. You know, we didn't often go to church on Wednesday nights just during Lent or maybe other special occasions, but church for me growing up was mostly on Sunday mornings. So Lent was special for a lot of reasons. And I loved that soup. I loved that bread. I have such fond memories of those times. And I know this is a little bit of a random story, but just, you know, when you think about the things that shape your faith, it's not always Sunday school or that fabulous sermon. Of course, it can be, and I hope that you have those experiences where something tangible like that shaped your faith, but community can also shape our faith. And so when I think of Lent, I think of community. I think of soup suppers at First Lutheran Church in Plains, Montana, a tiny little town in western Montana, and that's what I think about. So that's not what I want to talk about today. I do want to talk about the assigned text, which is Psalm 32, and we'll get to that just as soon as we come back from this short break. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Well, Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, I was talking about Lenten soup suppers, which is not the topic of today's podcast, although that would make a lovely podcast to talk about soup and bread. It's kind of a different podcast, though. Today's text, though, for the first Sunday of Lent is the psalm for this assigned for this text this week, and that is Psalm 32, which is as follows. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Again, that was Psalm 32, which is assigned for this week, the first Sunday in Lent. And if you join me for yesterday's podcast, where we talked about the first assigned reading from the Old Testament for this Sunday, it was Genesis verses from chapters 2 and 3. It talked about the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when the serpent convinces them to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is one of the origin stories that tells us how sin was introduced into the world. So if we look at this week in terms of a progression, we see that text from Genesis talking about sin entering the world. And then we get this really lovely Psalm 32 that says, happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And I love this text because first, it starts off with that happy are those, which is a very typical psalm intro, right? Happy are they, happy are those, happy are we, etc., who do this, who are in relationship in this way with God. It says, but I like what the chapter, I like how verse 3 starts. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up. I can so relate to this verse. How many times in your life have you had that feeling of something hanging over you, that feeling of keeping silence when you know you should tell someone something? So often in relationships, we have disagreements, right? Sometimes they're silly, sometimes they're major, but we have disagreements. Some people are really good at communicating, really good at airing those disagreements. Some people can just clear the air, they can get it out and move on. And some people are less able to communicate those things. So for me, growing up, I grew up in a family that didn't really like conflict. We didn't face conflict head on. And, you know, this isn't one of those, my parents didn't give me good tools kind of thing. No, it's just the way I was raised, right? It was the way they were raised. And they were better at their parents at a lot of things. And they were not as good as they learned from their parents things way too well sometimes. So it's just the way our families operate, right? It's called family systems, and it's a whole way of thinking about the ways that we interact with the world because of the ways that we were raised. And so this isn't a diss on my parents. I love my parents dearly, and I'm so grateful for them in my life. This is just a way of saying that I was raised in a household that wasn't big on conflict. We were more introverted about our conflict. We were get mad, stay silent, ignore it, hope it'll go away. but it doesn't go away, right? So I love that this talks about, while I kept silent, my body wasted. I felt this hand so heavy upon me. I think about those times when I have something inside of me and I'm so angry or I'm so sad or I'm so whatever, but I haven't expressed that anger. I haven't expressed that sadness, and just how it weighs upon me. Or those times when I've done something, when I said something that I shouldn't, when I've acted in a way that I shouldn't have, when I've done something that has hurt another person, and that weighs on me. And I know that I need to talk to that person. I know I need to explain myself. I need to apologize. I need to have a conversation with them. But I'm in that place where I can't find the words, or I don't have the tools to have that conversation. And so I sort of sit and wallow in that place. In my introvertedness, I'm not an external processor, so I can't just go up to someone and begin speaking and have it all come out. There's like a wall between my brain and my mouth sometimes where I want to say something. I know I need to say something, but I can't. And so that can happen with God as well, right? We all sin. We all turn our backs on God. We all make crazy, poor decisions sometimes that aren't what God would choose for us. But this psalm is reminding us that God is there. And that hand of God might feel heavy on you, not because God is sort of pushing you down in punishment, but because God is there. And our own guilt makes us feel the weight of that hand, knowing that God loves us, knowing that God could forgive us, and yet we have turned our back on God. I think that that is how I see this sometimes. That weight is really a weight because of our own guilt, our own sense of our own sin. So I want to talk more about this text, and of course we will, but I do want to take another quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more about this text as we move from sin and that feeling of guilt to the confession part of this psalm. So stay tuned and we will be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, I was talking about Psalm 32 and the weight that guilt can have upon us. The weight that we can have when we have sinned, whether against God or against one another, and we haven't cleared that error yet. And so the next part of this psalm says, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Isn't that just, to me, that's just a beautiful phrase. I love that phrase in this psalm. And it makes me think about this idea of confession. Of course, the Catholics have a tradition of personal confession, of actually going and speaking to a priest one-on-one. Often they have that screen between them, so it's not quite so face-to-face. But they have that that tradition of personal confession, that feeling of going in, confessing your sin, having someone say, "Yes, you did sin. You did this incorrectly, but here's how you can fix it. Here, go and make your, you've made your confession, and now go spend some time in prayer." And they even have set prayers that you can go and pray as part of your, I just completely blanked on the word and I apologize, but as, you know, as part of your forgiveness, then you have an active part in that. It's not just the priest who is doing that. You have your own role to play. And so you go and pray, or you do the penance. That's the word I'm looking for. You do that as part of your forgiveness. So it's not that we have to do something. It's just that sometimes it feels better, right? We have this weight upon us. We go and we confess, and then we're given something tangible to do. Go and say this prayer. Go and talk to God. If you don't have the words, this prayer will help you. Now, not all traditions have this personal confession. My own tradition, which is Lutheran, does not have that, although Martin Luther did want to keep it in. He was Catholic, of course, before he broke away from the church. He did want to keep personal confession in. It was a big part of his own life when he was a monk, but it fell out of the Lutheran tradition. Instead, we do still have confession and forgiveness. We just have what's called corporate confession. So each Sunday, as part of the worship service, we say a confession of sin together. And it usually goes along the lines of, I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what I have done and what I have left undone. It says the same thing about I have sinned against others in the same way. So, yes, it's more generic. We're not saying out loud the specific things that we have sinned, although there is place for that. You know, you can't, it's not set, there's no rule that says you cannot go to your pastor and say, I need to confess to you and get this off my chest and receive absolution. But we say it together, which is a different experience, right? Because you're confessing your sin, you're confessing your brokenness with the entire community, with your entire family surrounding you. And there's something powerful in everyone standing up and saying, we have sinned. We have sinned against you, God, and we have sinned against each other. And I love that it says in thought, word, and deed. So by things that we've thought, by things that we've said, by things that we've done. But it also says, and by things that we haven't done. So we don't always sin by things that we've done. Sometimes we sin by not doing something, by being afraid to do something, by being afraid to say something. And we can have guilt for those missed opportunities when we could have, should have, whatever. And so we say this corporate confession of sin, and then the pastor declares forgiveness of our sins. Not because the pastor is God, the confession comes from us. The forgiveness comes from God. The pastor is just the mouthpiece at that point. So the pastor says something like, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, I hereby declare to you the forgiveness of your sins. The pastor isn't forgiving you. God is forgiving you. The pastor is just using the words of the liturgy to declare that forgiveness, to say, you have sinned. Everyone has sinned. And yet God forgives. God forgives those transgressions, and it can be really powerful. And I know a lot of people are uncomfortable talking about sin because in our society today, there's this perception of wanting to be perfect. You know, we have so many things that show us perfection. We've got airbrushing. We've got different ways of posing on the internet that make us look perfect. You know, we've got social media where we tend to put all the happy things that happen in our life that we share, which is great, but it leaves out so many different things. It leaves out all of those things. I'm not saying go onto Facebook and say all of the crappy things you've done today, but we only see a lot of times perfection on TV, in magazines, on social media, etc. And it makes us uncomfortable with sin because we don't want to think of ourselves as sinful people, right? I'm a good person. I don't want to think about sin. I don't want to think about being a terrible person, but sin doesn't mean you're a terrible person. You could have done terrible things. Of course you could have. But sin is just looking at yourself and realizing that you are broken, which sounds bad when you say it sometimes, but it's not a bad thing. Looking at yourself and realizing that you are human. You make mistakes. You do things that disrupt your relationship with your friends, with your family, with your coworkers, with people you don't even know sometimes. And it disrupts your relationship with God, turning your back on God, not doing the things that create whole and healthy relationships, relating to your friends and family in ways that are hurtful. And of course, other people do it and do it to us. It's not just us sinning against them, it's them sinning against us. And yet we have this confession. We have this way of saying, I did this. Even when we don't say it to each other, and we should, we can say it to God, and God can say, you are my child. I love you. I have made these promises to you. Your sins are forgiven. Doesn't always let us off the hook completely. I mean, we still have to live in this world. We still have to live in relationship. So confessing to God is an amazing and awesome and great first step, but it doesn't mean that everything's cool. You know, you still have to go and apologize to your husband for that snarky thing you said that morning when you weren't mad at him. You were just hungry or tired or whatever. You know what I mean? That's just a generic example. I would know nothing about that. I'd never say anything snarky to my husband. Ha ha. So I love that this text starts out, happy are those, and then moves on to this feeling of the heavy hand upon us, the weight of our transgression, the weight of our sin and our guilt. But then we are forgiven. We confess our sins to God in the psalm, and we are forgiven. And then in verse 7, I love this because it says, you being God, you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. Now, I don't know if you tuned in for the Ash Wednesday podcast, but I talked about forts, and I talked about how I, when I'm feeling stressed or sad or anything, I kind of fantasize about forts and just this little hiding place where I can go and kind of hide from the world, whether that's figurative or actually literal. Oftentimes it's figurative. I just want to hide in my own head, right? But what if we looked at a fort, at this place that I create for myself, in the way Psalm 32 talks about? You, God, are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. When our relationship with God is healthy, when we are able to confess our sin to one another, but definitely to God, God becomes this place for us. Doesn't have to be a hiding place in terms of like hiding from the world, but a place of comfort, a place of love, a place of forgiveness. God is that place for us. The promises of God become that place for us. Had to think about my grammar there for a minute. I love this imagery that God is a hiding place for us. God preserves us. God takes care of us, surrounding us, forgiving us, loving us. And on that note, I am going to take our final break. So stay tuned and we will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, I was talking about Psalm 32, the assigned psalm for this first Sunday in Lent. And it's a psalm about sin and forgiveness and God being a hiding place for us, a safe place for us. And now that I've given you my own take on this psalm, I do want to move to a commentary. I like to, as I said in the last podcast, as I've said before, I like to give you a different perspective than just my own. So I always like to turn to a commentary that I can then read from and discuss with you as part of these podcasts. So this commentary comes from Jerome Creech, who is the Robert C. Holland Professor of Old Testament at the Pittsburgh Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That is a mouthful, my goodness. So Professor Creech writes, Psalm 32 is one of the six psalms the church traditionally identified for the rite of penance and to help model prayers of confession. The others are Psalm 6, 38, 51, 102, 130, and 143. So if you want to go look those up and see what the other Psalms about penance and prayers of confession say, that's a good exercise if that's what you want. He writes, therefore, this psalm is quite appropriate for use on the first Sunday of Lent. As with many of the so-called penitential psalms, however, Psalm 32 does not offer confession of sin through confession and penance, though confession and penance are primary themes. The psalm does not so much make confession as it teaches why confession is crucial, how to make it, and the nature and extent of its benefits. It teaches these lessons by means of a prayer of thanksgiving for healing. And this is why I love commentaries. This is why I like to give you a different perspective than just mine. Because, you know, when I read that, I just tend to see the themes of confession and forgiveness. I see the things that I spoke about prior to this last break. And so I love to read other commentaries that give me a different perspective. So this doesn't just offer confession and confession of sin. That's a primary topic, he says, but it shows us. It shows us a different way of thinking about confession and sin and forgiveness. It offers us through a prayer of thanksgiving for healing, which is really a great way to look at sin, right? Because, or sin and forgiveness, because sin and then the forgiveness of sin is a great healing, has a great healing effect on our lives. And so I like that he reminded me of that, that this commentary takes me into that general direction. He goes on to say, the psalm begins with a double beatitude that declares, happy are those who know God's forgiveness. This contributes to a major theme in the Psalms, and particularly in Book 1 of the Psalter, in which the word happy frames the section. The translation happy may be misleading given the modern understanding of the word. Happiness here refers to the joy and contentment of depending on God. Thus, some translations prefer the more traditional blessed. The word happy, however, gives the preacher opportunity to redefine the word for the congregation. For those who seek God's forgiveness, the experience of divine pardon and being reconciled with God are the primary marks of happiness. So this kind of gets back to what I was talking about before, although it expresses it more eloquently than I do. This idea of being happy or blessed, it's a Hebrew word, because the Old Testament, of course, was written in Hebrew, and things always, you know, things never translate exactly one for one. So happy gives us that idea. Blessed gives us another kind of idea of this. I like what he says about redefining this word happy, because we who seek God's forgiveness, we experience divine pardon and being reconciled with God. So it's happiness, of course, but it's this feeling of happiness, of contentment, of the lifting of a weight. All of those things go into that word happy. And so I appreciate this take on it. He says verses 1 and 2 include four poetic lines. The first three lines emphasize the Lord as forgiving agent, with the third making a direct statement, happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity. The fourth line, however, identifies the person's stance before God as a source of happiness, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Thus, the focus on confession of sin fits with the Psalter's central concern for dependence on God, in that confession is part of humility necessary to live rightly before God. And this is the language that sometimes makes people uncomfortable, right? This idea of humility. We don't often want to humble ourselves, whether it's to one another or to God, because humble can equate to vulnerability, right? And when we humble ourselves, when we're vulnerable, we are, well, we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable to people taking advantage of us. When we are vulnerable, we are more open. And that can be a good thing. That can be a positive thing. That can be a negative thing. It depends. But being vulnerable means to be open. And being open can lead to things getting in, right? So things, you know, words that we don't want to hear, truths that we don't want to hear. All kinds of things can get in when we open ourselves up and we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. So we don't often like words that remind us of our own humility, of our own humanness. This goes back to that idea of perfection, where we don't like to talk about being sinful beings. You know, I'm a good person. I don't want to talk about sin. But we get this idea of confession being necessary in living our relationship with God and living our relationship with each other. And it's not a bad thing. It's kind of a beautiful thing, right? So he moves on to say, in verses 3-5, the psalmist recalls sickness and the prayer offered to God for relief. The prayer the psalm reports implies that God caused the bodily ailment because of the psalmist's sinfulness. Your hand was heavy upon me. And then healing came after the confession as a result of forgiveness. The remainder of the psalm uses this experience to instruct others in how to stand before God. Let all who are faithful offer prayer. Do not be like a horse or a mule. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. And I didn't talk about that in the first part, this idea of don't be like a horse or a mule who refuses to be trained or who refuses to be led. It's just a metaphor. It's an image of stubbornness. And I come from a long line of stubbornness. We have there's some Scottish in my heritage. There's some Norwegian in my heritage. There's some German and Russian in my heritage. Those are all very stubborn people. And if you don't think Norwegians are stubborn, you've never been around my family, because we can be stubborn. But this is saying, don't just be stubborn. Don't dig your heels in. Don't be like that mule who's like, uh-uh, I'm not going that way. You can try to lead me, but no thank you. I'm going over here. I love this imagery, because after the psalmist talks about the healing effects of confession and forgiveness, then there's instruction. Here's how you can pray to God. Here's how you can enter into your own relationship of confession and forgiveness with God. And that's where we get that hiding place again, right? So it's instruction on happiness. It's instruction on relationship. It's how to be in relationship so that you can be blessed and content and happy in that relationship by confessing, by taking that weight off of you, by being forgiven. Sin and forgiveness are huge themes, of course, in our relationship with God. And they're not something to be feared. They're not something to shy away from. Yes, confession can be extremely scary, depending on what you are confessing, whether it's to God or to a loved one with whom you've had a falling out. Those things can be so difficult. And yet this psalm reminds us that there are ways of going about it. There are ways of being in prayer with God where you can confess those sins. And of course, there are ways to be in relationship with each other where we confess those sins, where we tell each other what we have done wrong, what we have not, what we've left undone, what we've not said, etc. And hopefully people are living that way toward us as well, confessing their sins to us so that we can in turn forgive them. So that's all the time that we have for this podcast this week. There's lots more to say on sin and forgiveness, but the journey of Lent is a journey toward the cross, toward Jerusalem, toward Good Friday, and then Easter. And Easter, of course, brings us the promises of the resurrection. So these themes pop up throughout the season. We'll be talking about them again, I am sure. I want to thank you for joining me as we discussed Psalm 32 that is assigned for this week's lectionary, the second of the Old Testament texts assigned for this week, which is the first Sunday in Lent, March 5th, 2017. I hope you'll join me again tomorrow as I move to the New Testament text assigned for this week, the first of which is a reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. Again, thank you for joining me. As a reminder, you can find all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download our podcasts, not just this one, but our whole family of podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. And you can follow and interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. Also Instagram and Pinterest, we have those accounts as well. So I want to thank you again for joining me as always. And as always, please remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. I'll catch you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.